We've had some great services today. We've already had, a couple of hundred at least joining us online and then in services. And so just excited about what the Lord is doing. I just want to say thank you to all of you that are coming. Appreciate you guys leaning in, as well as our Church From Home folks. We have a whole Church From Home network. And so you know, just a little bit of update, only about a third of our church has decided, yes, I'm ready to come back. Others are just not quite ready yet, and that's okay. So we've started what I'm calling a Church From Home network. And what that is about is becoming the church right where you live. And so I am meeting with that group once a month. We just had a training last week or a couple weeks ago, and we're training them and raising them up. I believe God in this hour is going to empower his people like we've never seen before. Okay. How many of you know it's not just about the preacher on stage, but it's about everybody in the seats and at home watching us now. I believe we're going to see people that have never or will never darken the doorway of the church get saved from people that are having church right in their home. I believe we're going to see miracles. Listen, through your ministry, through your lives. In fact, we just got done second service, and our prayer ministry, our partnership with SAC Healing Prayer, Chandra, who is the leader of SAC Healing Prayer, says they are getting calls from people who are in bondage to witchcraft and those types of things, calling saying, I need to get set free. That's powerful. And that just shows me, listen, something is stirring in the heavens. Something is stirring in the heavens. And I really am bringing this message series to you. It's called Piecing Together a Multi-Ethnic Mosaic, a Theology for the Coming Multi-Ethnic Revival. I really want you to hear my heart today, because what we are contending for is a multi-ethnic revival. And just so you know a little bit of history about our movement, what our church is a part of, we have not seen a multi-ethnic revival in those proportions since 1906. A multi-ethnic revival that was started by a black preacher named William E. Seymour, who started, you might have heard of this, the Azusa Street Revival, and that revival was actually thwarted eventually by segregation. We began to see black churches and white churches. And I'm believing God in this hour that he would piece together a multi-ethnic mosaic that would contend for a multi-ethnic revival in this region like we have not experienced since 1906. That's what I'm contending for. God has strategically placed Real Life Church in one of the most diverse zip codes in the nation. We have the most diverse zip code. High school in the nation, for sure in the state, and I believe God has perfectly positioned us for a multi-ethnic move of God. Come on, where He's just not empowering one type of people, but come on, a diverse group of people. Amen. Or oh me. All right, everybody say amen. Amen. That's what we're contending for. That's what we're going after. And I want to talk to you today about Jesus being glorified in our lives. How I remember 3 months ago, at the beginning of this pandemic, we were all worried about what we were going to do, what we thought was going to be only 2 weeks or so, right? And so everybody broke out their board games. If you're like us, we're not a board game family, so our board games are buried in some box in the garage. But one thing that we did see people doing that we wanted to be a part of was this puzzle craze that was going on. Everybody was putting puzzles together. And we had just got done finished as a family. Our family was home, and this was actually pre-COVID, a 2,000-piece puzzle, and it took us like 2.5 weeks to get done. So we were like puzzled out when COVID-19 came. But all of you started putting these puzzles together, and we're like, we got to get some more puzzles. And so Amy and Mariah, they go to Target and they go to the toy section where the puzzle should be, and you guys bought all the puzzles. All the puzzles were wiped out. They went to Walmart. All the puzzles were wiped out. And so Amy and Mariah are walking out of the store a little bit discouraged and disappointed because the DeGuara household wasn't going to have anything to do except watch you guys put together your puzzles on social media. And out of the corner of Amy's eye, in the clearance section, she sees two puzzles. Now, can I just give you some advice? If we're not in the middle of a pandemic, never buy two puzzles in the clearance section. She bought two puzzles in the clearance section. They were $10 each. How many know a puzzle in the clearance section is going to have missing pieces? So even though she knew they were going to have missing pieces, the boxes were open. She paid $10 a piece, $20 for puzzles that were going to be missing pieces. She brings them home, and we start putting them together as a family. And we're like, we know pieces are missing, but that's okay. And so we're putting this puzzle together. It was a 1,000-piecer. We're putting it together, and the first puzzle we put together had 8 missing pieces. And you know that feeling of elation you get when you complete a puzzle that's like, yes, we did it. Well, when we finished the puzzle, it was like, eh, we weren't really happy. We were like a little bit disappointed. Like, what happened to those 8 pieces? And so we busted out the second puzzle. We put that puzzle together. And the same thing, there were 3 pieces missing in this puzzle. And it just didn't give us those warm fuzzies of having completed something. And I think as God is piecing together a multi-ethnic mosaic here in Natomas, in North Sacramento, in our region, in our state, in our nation, it's easy to get disappointed or discouraged when you discover the missing pieces that haven't found their place for one reason or another. And I believe one of the missing pieces that must be present in piecing together a multi-ethnic mosaic, if we're going to experience a multi-ethnic move of the Spirit, a multi-ethnic revival, listen, we must have the piece of prayer in place. You see, Jesus understands the importance of prayer as he's getting ready to go to the cross. And he prays a popular prayer that we usually only pray in unity rallies. And it's out of John 17. We're going to look at John 17 over the next several weeks. And we're going to learn how Jesus prayed that he would be glorified, that his disciples would be sanctified, and that his believers, the future believers, the church of the day, would be unified. We're going to look at that over the next several weeks, but we're going to start in John today, 17 verses 1 through 5. It says this, Jesus spoke these words. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself in the glory which I had with you before the world was. It's in the beginning of Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17, that he introduces us to a key principle of prayer that I want us to get this morning, and that is this, that we need to look to heaven, we need to look for a heavenly perspective, not a human perspective. We need to look for a heavenly perspective in this hour, not a human perspective in this hour. It says this, Jesus spoke these words, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven. You see, in Jewish culture, that was a common gesture in prayer. What do we do in our Western American culture when we ask you to pray? What do? We close our eyes and we what? We bow our heads. It's a sign of humility. But Jesus here, he's getting ready to pray. And with his eyes wide open, he looks to heaven in expectation and in anticipation that God was going to glorify him so that the world would know him. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Psalm 123, verse 1. I lift my eyes to you, O God, enthroned in heaven. As I was looking at this verse and meditating on it, a moment of my life kind of sparked up in my memory. And I was in this group of pastors. It was a small group, and there was a prominent leader that was invited to encourage this small group of pastors and leaders, and he poured into us. He prophesied over us. And at the end, he gathered us together. They asked him to pray a blessing over us. And I remember, for whatever reason, I kept my eyes open during that time. And he said, let's pray. And what happened? All the pastors and leaders in that group, they closed their eyes and they bow their heads. And I looked to the leader. And this moment, for whatever reason, has stuck with me. He kept his eyes open. He looked to heaven. He lifted up his hands just like this. And he began to pray the Father's blessing over us. You see, I don't know why that stuck with me, but in a time when everyone has their head down, it's time for the church to be looking up. When everybody, listen, is discouraged and downtrodden and disappointed, listen, it's not time to walk around with our heads down. It's time to look to heaven with expectation and anticipation that God is about to move in a mighty way. Thou, O Lord, are a shield about me, the glory and the lifter of my head. You see, if there was ever a time that we needed to look to heaven, it is now. Can we just do that for a moment? You would just say, God, I look to you today. I look to you in this hour. God, I pray that you would use me in this moment, God, as your vessel, God, as your mouthpiece. Lord, to speak blessing over your people. You see, in John 17, Jesus begins to pray. You have to know this. He begins to pray about the words that he just taught his disciples in John 13, 14, 15, and 16. And in chapter 17, he's praying the word that he just spoke over his disciples. So Jesus spoke the word and prayed the word. How many know, after every good sermon, the preacher always prays? Right? Here's Jesus, and we've got to get this. Jesus spoke the word, he taught the word, and then he prayed the word. He just didn't give them some teaching. He activated the word in prayer so that they could begin to walk in it. So it wasn't just some theory. So they weren't just, listen, hearers of the word, but doers of the word. He said things like this in John 13, 35, and he's praying these things in 17, but in John 13, 35, he says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. How are you going to do that? Oh, we're going to pray his kingdom come, his will be done. John 14, 1, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. How do you know Jesus is talking to us today? In the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of racial tensions, how many know we can stand in that place where our hearts are not troubled in the midst of trouble? John 15, 11, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. John 16, 33, and again, these are just a few of them. They're all throughout 13, 14, 15, and 16. He says, I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. This is Jesus talking. You will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. I believe with all my heart, one of the biggest missing pieces to the multi-ethnic mosaic is speaking the word and praying the word. Praying the prophetic and allowing God to piece together a multi-ethnic, multi-generational mosaic that brings glory to God. This is one of the things that I've been learning to do as your pastor over the last 3 years. We started recording the prophetic history of Real Life Church. So every time somebody came, a minister during Edify or during another time, they would prophesy over this house. And listen, I didn't let those words fall to the ground. No, I recorded those words and I started contending and praying for those words. Listen, we just can't sit back and just hope that it happens. No. How many know the enemy's going to fight us every step of the way? He doesn't want a multi-ethnic revival in this region, and we have to contend for the words that God has spoken over this house. Even in times like this, listen, we're scattered, and most of us are meeting in homes. How many know it's easy to get discouraged? It's easy to get isolated. It's easy to get disconnected. It's easy to get in that place where I'm wondering if it's going to get back to being the same. Let me just tell you this. I don't want it to be the same. Listen, I don't want it to be the same. I want to see a greater glory. Amen. As a congregation, we've been having a lot of healthy and needed conversation that Pastor Damien has been facilitating. I'm thankful for Pastor Damien. How are you thankful for Pastor Damien? All right, three of you, okay, give him some love. He's here on the front row. All right. Man, you guys are a tough crowd, all right. And though we are having healthy and needed conversations, and again, the thing that I have most appreciated in this season is that as a congregation, we're not in the same place as we were 3 years ago when racism raised its ugly head. We're not even in the same place a year ago when it's, no, we started these conversations. We got a group together and we started having tough conversations, saying, how can we move the ball down the field and get out of crisis management mode? Because how many know he's the Lord over racism? Yeah. Jesus is Lord of all. We just sang about it. He is high and lifted up. Racism, the ism, it is a man-made social construct. It has no authority in heaven, so it doesn't have any authority on earth. And so it shouldn't stifle the church. But we need equal amounts of prayer and supplication, followed by more implementation and practical application of things that we can be doing to advance righteousness and justice in our community. And Paul said this, familiar passage again, he said, be anxious for what? Nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, which is supplication is intense and serious prayer. How many know we need to get intense and serious about prayer once again in the house of God? All right, I knew I was only going to get 3 hand claps, but that's all right. We need to get intense and serious about prayer once again. And he says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Why? So that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and guard your minds in Christ Jesus. You say, we can't do this without doing it through Jesus Christ. You see, we're living in a time when anxiety levels are at an all-time high. Emotions are real, and they are raw. And how many know it's easy to get uneasy about the days we're living in? But yet, as a church, we need to understand. I need you to catch this, church. I need you to really grasp this. We need to understand we are in a time when God is exposing hidden evils. In other words, if we're praying for revival, we can anticipate God bringing things to light so everyone can see. See, we want a revival that's just a glory party. Stay with me. Don't just turn me off right there, church from home. Don't turn me off. We think of revival as just something that's happening in the church. No, we're contending for something greater than that. Listen, and if we're sincerely praying for revival, part of that is God pulling back the curtain on the devil's schemes. Ephesians 5, 12 to 14 says, it is shameful even to talk about the things that the ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them, for the light makes everything visible. You see, at times it's beyond our human comprehension. It's hard to even grasp all the complexities that are coming at us through this pandemic and now the racial injustices we have to witness, because now things are being caught and taped and recorded and then being consumed by our society. Listen, this is why we need the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Because what do we do with all this stuff? How do we process that as individuals, as believers, as a church? And Paul said this, he said, in everything by prayer and supplication. Everything by prayer, intense and serious prayer, with thanksgiving. Why? Because when I do, listen, it's easy to get thrown off in this hour. And listen, when God pulls back the curtain, he is answering the prayers of previous generations that didn't get their justice. He is answering the prayers of former saints that didn't get their mercy. They didn't get their truth. They didn't get it. But we are living in an hour where God is revealing the hidden evils. Listen, and we should be rejoicing because righteousness is about to spring forth. Wickedness is about to be exposed. And revival is about to invade our space. You see, prayer invites heaven into our humanity. God, I can't take this. He didn't ask you to take it. He asked you to cast all your cares upon him. He asked you to thank him for it. I was on social media, and I just saw somebody, thank God we have phones that can record all these different things that are being recorded. Thank God. Come on, thank God. God is pulling. God. And this is the Holy Spirit's role. Again, I didn't mention this in any other service, but if you look at John 16, 8 through 12, this is the Holy Spirit's job to convict the world of sin, to bring light to the darkness. You see, prayer moves you and I from the physical to the spiritual. Prayer moves us from just it being emotional to the spirit world. Prayer moves you from the mental, just having to think all through, to the spiritual. Prayer moves you and I from just social justice to supernatural justice. Did you know you serve a God of justice? Do you know you serve a God that is more concerned about justice than you and I? My God is justice. My God is love. My God is merciful. My God is truth. He's all about it. Psalm 33, verse 5. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. So if through my human eyes, all I see is wickedness all around me, prayer helps me see the goodness of my God. George Floyd's funeral in Minneapolis. Now his funeral at North Central University, the former pastor, Scott Hagen, had the opportunity to host that. The goodness in the midst of darkness. Psalm 74, 72, verse 4, he will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy and will break in pieces the oppressor. So if all I'm seeing is poverty, abuse, and oppression, listen, don't sit overwhelmed. Man, I preach my heart out first and second service. I'm preaching my heart out and going to lose my voice, but that's all right. But if all I'm experiencing is poverty, abuse and oppression. Prayer invites the God of justice to break into those circumstances. And guess what? He uses you and I to do it. Some of you have been perfectly positioned in this hour to bring reform, to bring transformation, to bring change, to bring the presence of God right on your workplace. That's revival, my friends. Allowing God just to say, you know what? I'm not only a vehicle, I'm a vessel. I'm a vessel of your glory. I'm a vessel of honor. I'm a vessel, God, that I want you to use. It says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. You see, the absence of righteousness, the absence of justice, mercy, and truth is an indicator that the church needs to pray and invite his presence into the problem. See, we've gotten so used to our Sunday gatherings when we call the church to pray, only a few show up. But how many know we have a responsibility in this hour to pray and to pray with supplication, intensity, and seriousness. Psalm 103, verse 6, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Prayer activates the promises of justice. You see, when I call on heaven, I'm not limited to what I can do. I'm not limited to my own efforts. I'm not limited to my own strategies. I'm not limited to my own ideas. I open up the possibilities to heaven. Not just what's human. Dr. John Perkins, who's a legend on issues of racial reconciliation and Christian community, I just read his book, One Blood, about a year ago, but he said this, I believe that justice for all can become a reality in America. Government alone, though, however good, can never bring justice. I am convinced that the promise which our nation's laws alone have been powerless to fulfill can be fulfilled in one way, through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, the gospel has this power. I know, for I have seen it bring hope to the hopeless. I have seen it empower the powerless to break the chains of oppression. I'm persuaded that the church, as a steward of this gospel, holds the key to justice in our society. Either justice will come through us or it will not come at all. You see, I believe John 17 shows us a prayer that Jesus actually prayed right before he went to the cross and got crucified, that if we as a multi-ethnic mosaic can embrace, we too can become the church that holds the key for justice in our society. I told you a few weeks ago that I believe that the church is God's agent for justice on the earth. But if we're going to experience that, we have to pray. Listen, I don't want to oversimplify this, but it does invite God into every circumstance and situation. And it is this, we have to pray that Jesus would be glorified. In fact, I want us to just practice just for a moment. Can you just say this with me? Jesus, be glorified. Now I want you to do something. I want you to look to heaven and I want you to say, Jesus, be glorified. Jesus, be glorified. You see, when the world, the entire world, is horrified, the church needs to be calling on the name of Jesus to be glorified. John 17, 1 and 2, he says, Father, the hour has now come. It's a reminder to us, listen, that we must know the season and the times that we are living in. How many know the enemy knows that his time is short? Come on, as a church, listen, we've got to be filled with an urgency once again. We can't let the pandemic lull us to sleep, disconnect us so that we disengage from what God is doing in a supernatural. He wants to open our eyes. He says, glorify your son. That word glorify means to make renowned, to render illustrious, to cause the dignity and worth of some person to become manifest and acknowledged. Here's Jesus, he's saying, God, I pray in that moment When I go to the cross, God, I pray that people would acknowledge me as your only begotten Son, that they may come to you and know that you sent me. You see, what would seem like one of the darkest days in human history, at a place called Calvary, Jesus is saying, before it happens, he's saying, glorify me that I may bring glory to you so I can restore glory to all humanity. And the way the Father would choose to glorify Jesus was to allow the crowds to crucify Jesus. One of the greatest injustices ever known to man. If you can read it in Scripture, the greatest injustice, Jesus, be glorified. Matthew 27, verses 50 to 51, and then 54, Jesus is hanging on the cross. He lets out one last cry to heaven, and he yields up his spirit. And the earth begins to shake. How many know the earth is shaking right now? And the rocks begin to split open. They begin to cry out. And there's a crowd around the cross that was guarding the cross. And they look up on the cross and they say, truly, this is the Son of God. You see, I want you to catch this. Jesus wasn't glorified until he was crucified. What's that mean for us? In other words, the glory of the Son was only revealed and acknowledged after his body was nailed to the cross. How you know today we are his body? We are the body of, and we have to walk in this revelation, especially as a multi-ethnic mosaic, people from every background, every socioeconomic level, different color. We have to understand this, listen, that the glory of God is only going to be revealed through his crucified body. God's glory is only going to be made manifest through a crucified community. Listen, a community that is dead to themselves and alive to God. Romans 3:23, all have fallen short of the glory. The manifestation of the glory of God is only accessed through Jesus and those who have encountered, embraced, and embodied his death on the cross. Because how many know if we die with him, we can be united in his life with him. I'm going to talk about this next week, being sanctified, being set apart as his holy nations, citizens of another kingdom. You see, we get excited about the glory, but not so much about the road of suffering that leads us to it. How you know sometimes you just got to sit in the suffering. You've got to sit in the pain. Listen, the church is so quick to move on from suffering instead of learning from it. Because how many know the Bible, the theology of suffering says God gets glory. I'm not talking about sickness. I'm talking about sitting in people's pain. I'm talking about walking with people that are hurting. I'm talking about having compassion on the least of these, as I talked about last week. You see, we get excited about the glory, but not so much about his death that I have to identify with. We get excited about the glory, but not so much about the obedience it takes to obtain it. Everybody say, Jesus, be glorified. Why? Why do we pray? Because we've all fallen short of the glory. Jesus, be glorified in my life. Jesus, be glorified in my family. Jesus, be glorified in my workplace. You say, how many know that'll brighten up your day? That'll brighten up your workplace. You see, a multi-ethnic mosaic is only going to be pieced together through the power of a Christ-centered gospel. Listen, that not only communicates, but demonstrates the power of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection that reveals the Father's heart to reach all humanity and to reconcile all of humanity one to another. This is what I call the multi-ethnic miracle that meets here when we gather. The multi-ethnic miracle called real life church. It is a Christ-centered gospel that not only preaches salvation to all people, but demonstrates the gospel by living it out with all people. How many know there's a difference? You guys hear what I'm saying? A Christ-centered gospel that not only preaches salvation to all people, but demonstrates the gospel by living it out with all people. There's difference, in other words, that from a multi-ethnic gathering. There's a difference between a multi-ethnic gathering and a multi-ethnic lifestyle that is lived out for the glory of God. John 17, verse 2, it says, as you've given him, Jesus, authority over all flesh, that he should give him eternal life as to as many as you have given him. You see, because God the Father has given Jesus all power and all authority over all humanity to give us eternity, we as a church can pray confidently and preach and live out a bold Christ-centered gospel that has all power to reach all people in all places. Can we just say that? Can you just say this? All power, all people, all places. All power, all people, all places. Jesus, be glorified. You see, by his power and authority, Jesus transforms our humanity with one touch of eternity. He says this, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Notice Jesus doesn't define eternal life as getting to go to heaven. How many know it's bringing heaven to earth? He says that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. He defined eternal life as knowing the Father and knowing the Son. Not knowing church, but knowing the Father and knowing the Son. Listen, if there was ever a time when we needed to know and understand the ways of Jesus, the truth of Jesus, and the life of Jesus, it's now. If there was ever a time when we needed to know and understand the Father's heart, it's now. You see, when we know the ways of Jesus, when we know the truth of Jesus, when we know the life of Jesus, it leads us to the heart, knowing the heart and the will of Father God. And when we know the heart and will of Father God, we become the answers to Jesus' teaching in John 13, 14, 15, and 16. When we begin to pray, listen, our love for one another proves to the world that we belong to him. When we begin to pray, listen, our hearts are not troubled when there is trouble all around us because we're trusting in a Savior. When we understand and know God's heart, listen, we'll ask him for anything in his name and he will do it. And our lives will be filled with unspeakable joy and our lives will be overflowing with peace. But it's going to cost us something because a glorified Jesus is only revealed through a crucified body that is dead to our old sinful selves so we can be united in the newness of Christ. A crucified body that is no longer slave to sin but united in the freedom that Christ brings each and every one of us. Where the power of sin is broken over the crucified body so that we can be united in the power and the wholeness of who Jesus is. Jesus, be glorified. Will you stand with me today? And I just want you to call out. It's a powerful, simple prayer. But I want you to just cry out, Jesus, be glorified. Can we just say that? Jesus, with your hands lifted, looking to heaven, Jesus, be glorified. Whatever it is, Jesus, be glorified in my family. Jesus, be glorified in my neighborhood. Jesus, be glorified in my workplace. Jesus, be glorified. Lord, wherever I am, God, be glorified, oh God. Be glorified, God, in Natomas. Be glorified in Sacramento. Be glorified in California. Be glorified in the United States. Be glorified in the nations of the earth. God, be glorified through your crucified body, oh God. A body that is dead to self and alive to you. God, we long for revival. We long for a fresh move of the Holy Spirit through your people and for your people. God, it's your name that is honored from generation to generation. You alone are worthy of all glory and praise. You are not shocked by the state of the world right now. You are not at loss about what to do. Nothing is impossible for you. Jesus, be glorified. Lord, today we're proclaiming that you will be glorified through this pandemic and through the racial tensions that exist in our country, that your name would be known and praised throughout the earth. Jesus, be glorified. Lord, we ask you to pierce the darkness with your light, shine brighter than the fear of death, and expose every hidden evil in the name of Jesus. We ask you to be glorified. And we thank you right now that righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne, and you're extending mercy and executing justice for all who are oppressed. We say, Jesus, be glorified. And Lord, continue to draw back. Lord, those that have turned their back on you, Lord, continue to draw a hurting world back to you. And God, use us as your vessels. Lord, it's not a church event that's going to save people in this hour. It's an empowered people being the church right where you've placed them. God, I pray we would have a revelation, God, that we are the church where the gates of hell cannot prevail. Lord, wherever you've placed us, Lord, you've supported us. You've strengthened us. God, you've given us your power to change and shift atmospheres, to change systems. Revival. Healing. Salvation, freedom. I feel the chains falling off right now. I feel the chains falling off right now. Chains, chains are dropping. Chains are falling off. Chains are falling. Come on, shake off those heavy bands. Just shake off those heavy bands right now in the name of Jesus. The clouds of darkness are parting. Come on, the clouds of depression are parting. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, be glorified. Be glorified. Come on, some of you need to just tell the darkness right now, Jesus, be glorified. Be glorified. Come on, every demon in hell trembles at his name. Jesus, be glorified. I don't know if there's somebody watching or there's somebody in here. The enemy's been harassing you. I know it's a small room. Jesus been harassing, enemy's been harassing you. Come on, just lift your hands up. You've been harassed. Chains falling off right now in the name of Jesus. We break every power. We break off every chain, every demonic influence in the name of Jesus. God, we pray that you would break the power of the enemy over your people. And God, you would inject in their hearts and in their spirit, God, you would release hope in the name of Jesus. We release hope to the hopeless right now in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Will you pray with me? Just say, Jesus, be glorified. Lord, we're asking you to push back the darkness. God, we're asking you to expose every lie of the enemy in the name of Jesus. We pray truth would surface in this hour. God, we pray justice, God, would surface in this hour. We pray your righteousness, God, would spring forth like the dawn in this hour. Jesus, we love you. We praise you, and we're asking you to be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. Listen, Jesus has to be glorified in order for his followers to be sanctified and his church to be unified. But listen, we have to be that crucified body that's willing to embrace and embody his death so we can come alive to all that he has for us, all the power, all the riches of his glory. That's what he has for us, church. And listen, the enemy might be thinking right now, listen, I've got one up on the church, but I've got news. There is a people that understand that they are the church. Amen? And so I release you, I bless you, and I just want you to go out with that on your lips one last time, because I'm going to be saying it all week. Jesus, be glorified. Listen. That prayer, God cannot help but answer. Because he wants to bring glory to his Father. God wants to be glorified in this hour. He wants to answer that prayer. I love you, church. I can't wait till next week. Tuesday, Facebook Live, we're going to go back to praying. We're going to kind of piggyback on this series and be praying on Facebook. But we love you. God bless you, church from home. We love you. And we will see you guys soon. Listen, Jesus be glorified all week. Amen. God bless you.